Are you tired of the endless supply of terrible storytelling? Of uninspiring, nihilistic stories that permeate most of modern-day entertainment? Are you tired of the diversity, equality, and inclusion standards that are forced upon movie creators and actors? Well, so are we. So go with us on a journey as we chronicle for you the latest news in entertainment, as we discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the film industry, and as we pave a way forward to see the kingdom of Christ grow and the dragon of secularism meet its end. Now, if you want to support us in our mission, please head over to patreon.com/thePowell Bros, or follow the link in the show notes. There, you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews. Now, on with the show.
Cool, sorry. I wasn't able to listen to a whole lot you were saying because I was trying to figure that out. But
basically, every character and every female character in Gotham is a lesbian.
Yeah.
But it's following, like, Barbara Gordon is one character, Renee Montoya, which I think she's a character that was created in the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know she was in Gotham for a short time. And and then Harley Quinn as well is another kind of protagonist in the show. Well, protagonist, anti-hero, antagonist somewhat. But the biggest thing is they decided to turn Oswald Cobblepot into Oswalda Cobblepot. So they made Oswald the Penguin a woman.
Yeah.
Really doesn't look a whole lot more different than he usually does, but clearly it's a woman, and they had to turn that villain into a female for whatever
reason. We did actually talk about that on Wednesday. I don't know if you remember, but
I don't remember.
But anything. That was the only thing about the show that we talked about, that they changed her to a woman, him to a woman, and it was just to add another female character in this large cast of female characters.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they had, why not?
Yeah. About what you'd expect,
pretty much.
I mean, or was it just because I did see something that it was getting good reviews? Was that like critic reviews or something?
I'm pretty sure mostly critic reviews, because most of the fans I've heard from what I've seen have not been happy with it. Granted, as I said, this is just kind of par for the course for DC and whatnot. Like, that's how the direction they've been going with the comics, even a lot of the TV shows and stuff. It's just, let's make every female character gay, and a lot of the male characters gay. Because, like, I know, like, Renee Montoya, she was a straight character originally. But then
which one's that? Sorry.
She's a detective that works for the Gotham PD, and I think she's from the animated series, like, original character for the animated series. But now they're, like, using her in more things like this.
Yeah, interesting.
So anyways, it's just continue to interject intersectionality into these stories and make sure that all these characters set in a fictional world and in a fictional time are aligned with modern day politics and modern day thought and what the modern audiences believe and hold to.
Yeah.
Same old song and dance.
Yeah, for sure. And there's not, like you said, a whole lot of other things going on. A lot of what I got to say is regarding Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you want to just talk about that right now?
Sure, yeah. Let's see. I saw Henry Cavill post. He said, to be safe, I shaved the mustache off for this one. Just the mustache.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Just a little kick at DC and their CGI of his mustache.
I just love how self-aware Henry Cavill is.
Yeah.
He's willing to make a joke like that.
It's sure. That was just hilarious. And then he tagged the director and Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman in his post.
Nice.
Hilarious.
Yeah, you have all the actors coming out and talking about their roles now that the spoiler ban is up, pretty much.
Yeah.
Or the
That didn't seem to last long either.
No, it didn't. Yeah, because I've heard Chris Evans. So Chris Evans, like, he apparently he memorized the entire monologue at the end of the film. Channing Tatum was just really excited about being able to come back and play this character that he didn't get to play before. Yeah. And now finally was able to play. And
yeah. So, and I didn't know that when they announced his movie, it was like the same time as like Deadpool, like the first Deadpool movie.
Okay. Yeah.
As far as timeline, that's where it was.
It's about that long. Yeah. Crazy.
Which kind of surprised me. Yeah. Anyway, let's see. It's nearing a billion, which is insane. Like it's already passed the highest grossing R-rated movie, which was previously Passion of the Christ.
Right.
And it's at $824 million, and we're only two weekends in. Like, that's crazy.
That is wild.
For an R-rated movie, it's going to be pretty big movie for sure for them. And passing Passion of the Christ, pretty crazy. Because the other two didn't.
The other two R-rated movies?
Yeah. Well, the other two, Deadpool.
Oh, Deadpool, sorry. You're, yeah.
Because, I mean...
Joker hit a billion, right? And Logan?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
I don't think so, actually.
But maybe. I think it was just United States-wise. I think Passion of Christ was number one in the United States.
Oh, I see.
And I think globally there was some different things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think it had been passed like globally, and other movies had passed it globally already, but it held for America's number one R-rated film and got passed this last weekend. And yeah, they're at $824 million. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is. That's just a lot.
Yeah.
People want fun superhero movies.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and obviously adjusted for inflation, all those other R movies actually did better.
Yeah.
Even Passion would have done better. More people saw it.
For sure.
So I mean, there's so many things to factor in. But
yeah.
As far as this day and age, yeah, it's pretty crazy. Numbers,
yeah, for sure. Yeah, they've got I saw a Rotten Tomatoes score comparison with Deadpool, Wolverine, and Miss Marvel, and so the critics rated Deadpool, Wolverine about 79%, while the audience gave it a 96.
Oh wow!
The critics gave Miss Marvel a 98%.
Critics 98, wow.
Okay. And the audience gave it an 80, so it's flipped from Deadpool and Wolverine. But I think 79 is good for Deadpool and Wolverine. Even like what we gave it on our mini review. Oh,
yeah, pretty low. But
if you want to know exactly what we gave it, which was lower than that, you should go listen to that on our Patreon.
Yeah.
And yeah, your support helps us as always. And then Miss Marvel should just be way below that.
Pretty much.
Let's see, do I have anything else? Yeah.
Well, so, hey, Miss...
Sorry, go wait. Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel's the TV show.
The TV show, yeah.
And, like, I remember that being, like, more well-received than a lot of the other Disney Plus shows. This is, like, a fun, young adult
superhero. Yeah, the story actually wasn't awful. It wasn't extremely woke.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, for sure. Of all the other ones, all the other shows, it was one of the better ones.
Okay.
I mean, nothing compared to Loki.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not awful like She-Hulk or anything like that. Did you have anything else on that?
I don't think so.
Yeah. There's been 117 times that the F-word has been used in the MCU so far.
117, okay. Yeah.
One time in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and 116 times in Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh my goodness, they use it that many times.
That many times.
That's ridiculous.
117 times in the MCU so far.
Okay.
116 were Deadpool and Wolverine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went all out on the R rating.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I wonder how much that's gonna be a trend in MCU doing R rated films. I guess. I mean.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what else would they do. Like, if they ever do Blade, like that's gonna be rated R.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a lot of characters they would like Deadpool. People would like to see in an R rating.
Yeah.
Most of them would be X-Men, I suppose. Yeah. Like, if they did a Gambit, an R-rated Gambit movie.
Yeah, they may do that. I don't know.
That'd be really cool if they made a Gambit movie. I mean, they'd have to have him talk a little more clearly. Because nobody can understand a word he says.
What's the gif or meme going around when he says, like, oh, I'm waiting forever for this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make a name for myself.
Oh, I'm about to make a name for myself. Yeah.
you just make sure they remember what happened today.
Yeah. Just make sure they know what happened the other day. Yeah. All right. I don't know. Did you have anything else in Deadpool and Wolverine?
I don't think so.
I had something for. So Wesley, there was an article titled "Cancel Mahershala Ali's Blade movie."
Okay.
And Wesley Snipes shared it.
Really?
Yes. On his social medias.
Oh man.
So I think he really wants to come back as Blade.
I'm sure.
And he does. I think that's what's gonna happen.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's announced.
Yeah.
Even after Deadpool and Wolverine, if Michelle Ali like backs out, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. That he's like, yeah, I'm not gonna do it, or even like in a respectful way, like say I'm gonna give it over to Wesley Snipes
for him
to do one last hurrah or maybe one last trilogy or something.
Yeah,
but who knows?
Yeah, no, it's just I'm sure that's the direction they're gonna end up going because it's been such a mess. I mean, we have an episode titled "The New Blade Movie Isn't Even Gonna Happen." Something like that, but like the point was like even at that time, that was before Deadpool and Wolverine came out, before we knew any of this, we already knew. Oh yeah, probably Blade will not come to be is what I titled it.
Yeah,
and we were just talking about how just the complete mess of what's happening with Blade. That was when the director quit, and there's been no new director announced or anything like that. So
right,
they're definitely.
Pretty much it.
Yeah, that was the end of that, I think. Just no official announcements or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, other than that, let me check something really quick. I don't know, did you have anything?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that, yeah, I don't know, that's just crazy. Just to have all those events, all the events related to Blade and them trying to make a new Blade, because for some reason it's so hard to make a movie about a vampire killer who goes around killing vampires. It's a superhero who goes around killing vampires. Such a difficult concept that they can't seem to get it right.
Yeah.
They just try to twist it, mess with the story, and try to go their own creative direction, but it's nothing that no one wants.
Yeah,
no one wants to be part of it.
Yeah, it's pretty wild to me that they can't
but,
do anything.
Know, there will only ever be one Blade.
Yep.
There only is one Blade.
Yep. Just like how there's only one Wolverine. I think Wesley Snipes wanted to make it clear that there's only also been one Blade.
Yeah.
Because Hugh Jackman gets a lot of credit for being the only Wolverine to ever exist, but
totally.
People overlook Wesley Snipes' Blade, and there has only ever been one Blade. That is true.
Yep.
And it's looking like that's how it's going to stay for a little while.
Probably.
I mean, there hasn't even been variants. Like, that's hilarious.
I know, right? Isn't it? That's true. There hasn't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's some animated Blades, like
the
animated Spider-Man show has some Blade.
But... Oh, there's also the spin-off of the Blade movies, that show that lasted one season. Did I tell you about that?
What's that? I don't think so.
There's a live action show, like
really?
Lowest quality ever. I don't even know why they made it and didn't even cast Wesley Snipes.
Like, okay.
Probably because it's so low quality.
Who's it? Like,
who's the actor?
It's a Blade show.
Yeah, but it's like movie. It takes place, like it's supposed to be Wesley Snipes' Blade, like the same character.
Oh, I did not know this was a thing. Was this post Trinity?
Yes. post Trinity. I don't know. Let's see. When did that one come out?
That's
let me look it up.
Interesting.
Blade Trinity. Yeah, so it's after that. So Blade Trinity came out in 2004. The show came out in 2006. It's just called Blade the Series. That's what it's
Blade
titled.
Blade the Series.
Blade the Series.
Okay.
And it's, let's see, who's this guy? Sticky Fenguez.
What?
Never heard of him before. Okay. But he's the guy that plays Blade. And, yeah. I mean, that they just pretend like it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, it basically doesn't.
Right.
If you want to watch it, you can watch it for free on Tubi.
Oh,
But I probably don't want to endorse that because I'm sure it's probably the worst thing
it's probably
ever to exist.
Likely, yes.
Especially with how the movies weren't that amazing. I shouldn't say they're terrible. Trinity was pretty terrible.
Trinity was.
If I remember correctly. But yes.
First one was good for what it was, and second one
was all right. And all right. Yeah. But there is a show, and it does exist, whether they want to admit it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Still, Wesley Snipes is the only Blade.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so have you seen that they released director's cuts of Zack Snyder's Rebel Moons, both of them, the first and second?
Yeah, they did release the second one already.
Yeah.
I know they released the first one.
Like, awful, like awful ratings.
Doesn't make it any better.
Yeah. They technically are on Rotten Tomatoes rated higher than the originals. But so okay. like the first one, part one, went mm-hmm. from a 22 to a 29.
Okay.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh boy.
And part two went from 17 to 40.
Oh no.
So okay. Still rotten, both of them.
Yeah.
All four of them are considered rotten.
Dude, Zack Snyder, he should not be in control of his own projects.
Yeah,
no. I think he does good when he's being has some oversight sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe like his cinematography is good. I just don't think he's a good writer and direct. I mean, maybe his directing is all right. You didn't watch Rebel Moon,
did you?
I didn't either. I've heard it's pretty terrible.
Yeah,
and just from a story standpoint, direction they went with the plot, it was just pretty terrible.
Yeah, he I don't know, like it's funny that he's always releasing director's cuts. He's like, no,
yeah,
you didn't see
this
my
is my
vision.
True vision.
Yeah.
Like, what was the first one?
Like that was like
I'm sure Netflix is really confused because it's like, here, we'll I hear you tried to pitch a Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
they didn't want it. Well, here, we'll let you do your own thing, just remove the Star Wars brand and do your own thing.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll give you all this money to do it. And so, because like, oh, it's Zack Snyder. It's Star Wars. Like, yeah, who wouldn't want to see this? And so he creates it and then they release it. And then he's like, okay, now can I release my director's cut? It's like, what was that we released? It's like, no, this is my true vision. This is the one that I finally wanted that I couldn't do because of, I couldn't make it long enough, or it was too long at first, or something. So I had to cut it. But apparently, he like took scenes for that were at one point of the story and moved it to a completely different point of the story, and still tried to connect it and made it seem like it made sense and stuff.
So, my gosh!
And then so the director's cut are also rated R, and so they're like there's like extended sex scenes with nudity and just a bunch of garbage that are just like apparently they're like 4 or 5 minutes long.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
What are you doing?
Yeah, no, he's like the biggest pervert ever.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Makes just awful stuff.
Yeah, and like what?
It's like there was a reason that Star Wars didn't want to make your stuff. Like, it's and that's saying a lot. Like, that's just you should not be making anything if Disney doesn't want to make it.
Exactly. Speaking of Disney, just segue over to Star Wars. Hear about the Skeleton Crew?
No, I have not. Well, I
heard, you know anything about Skeleton Crew?
I know nothing about it.
Okay.
I might have seen like pictures and just passed right over them without even knowing that I did.
Sure.
But I have not seen the trailer. I have nothing.
Well, without messing it up, are you able to go to the Discord chat to see the pictures I sent?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I see these.
So
that's what those were. I've been staring at these pictures. I didn't know I was even looking at them.
Yep. So, okay. So Skeleton Crew takes place during the Mandoverse, Mandalorian, whatever. Okay. It's apparently following a group of kids who go on an adventure in another galaxy. So apparently like they're in a different galaxy and they go to the Star Wars galaxy or something.
Oh,
and they meet or run into or are followed by Jude Law, who is... Jude Law, who's a Force-sensitive dude. I don't know exactly what he is. But he's Force-sensitive. He's not a Jedi, from what we know.
Right, which is very common in Star Wars now.
So yes, everyone's Force-sensitive. You get the Force. You get the Force.
Everybody gets the Force.
Yeah. Anyways, it's basically like Goonies in space.
Mm.
It's just following a bunch of kids as they go on an adventure and go treasure hunting or... It's not the worst idea. It can be done well.
But
it just doesn't look that good. Like look at these pictures. Okay, like it's just it looks really cheesy. Like the speeder bikes look odd. Like they're like
why is Dumbo kid size. In it?
Well, and then you have Dumbo. Apparently, so it's apparently the same species as Max Rebo, the dude in the cantina that plays the what is it? Drums or something? I don't know. He's a big blue dude, saxophone. Yeah. Max Rebo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that same species.
Interesting.
Weird, yeah, Dumbo looking.
Yeah, that's blue not. I'm pretty sure we've seen other versions of the species that don't look like that.
Maybe, sure, yeah. I don't know. It was a kid, though, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. Different, but
yeah, I mean, not a whole lot to say about it. I mean, Jude Law. He doesn't really like he belongs in Star Wars, and I'm not really sure what they're going for with his character. And I think it's probably going to be a show they're just going to kind of put under the radar and just pump out and not make too big of a deal about it, because I doubt anyone's going to see this. Like, it's like Acolyte was a different story because it was so bad and such a disgrace to Star Wars that. There were people that were watching it, but it really wasn't that many. Like, the viewership was still pretty significantly small. This one is just, like, no one cares. And it's not like this is going to be a big lore-breaking show.
Right.
You know, it's set in a... And
this is just a
post-Return of the Jedi. Yeah. It's meant during the Mandalorian. Like, I don't... Are we going to get a cameo from Mando? I don't know. From maybe Grogu. It's going to show up.
Probably Grogu, yeah.
Who knows?
Something dumb.
It'll probably just be, well, I don't know, like, are we going to get a bunch of cameos? I mean, they probably would have to, like, get people somewhat excited to talk about it, because
there's not
much to talk about otherwise.
I mean, it's about what I'd expect, I guess.
Pretty much.
Did you have anything else on that?
Not really. Yeah, just another show, another Star Wars show that I don't care about.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I don't care.
Yeah.
No reason to care.
Yeah, I know. There's a trailer out for it, right?
No, there's not.
Oh, there's not. It's just these images.
They might have shown footage at Comic-Con, maybe.
I'm sure they did.
But there's not like an actual trailer out. That's all we've gotten. That one of those images of Jude Law we got like a long time ago. I remember seeing it. I don't know if it was leaked or what, but they released it with all these other photos.
I remember seeing that a long time ago.
I think it comes. Does it come out this year? I don't even know. I think it's in the fall.
I think
it would be.
It fall. Might. Yeah.
Yeah. That should. Yeah. It comes out in a few months or so. So we'll wait for that.
Yeah, it comes out this year.
Okay.
It just says 2024. I don't see a release date where I looked. But this year. December 3rd, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll be watching that through Christmas.
Yep.
I actually might watch this.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, I'll watch it. It's not
lesbians in space, so.
Sure.
And Jude Law, I mean, I like a lot of stuff he's in.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. No. So, I've watched this video of Matt Damon just talking about newer movies nowadays, and he was talking about why we're not getting a lot of like simpler movies, a lot more indie movies, and he was saying that a lot of it is just because of the decline of DVDs.
Oh yeah.
And how so, like, back then, like in the 90s, you make a movie, you release it, you put your $100 million in, or, well, not $100 million, $50 million into it, $100 million, I guess, with like advertising and stuff. Yeah. You put that in and you make most of it at the theater, and then you release it on DVD and you make the rest there. Now without DVD and just streaming, you don't get that. You don't have that that extra room to make back that money.
Mm.
It's like, if you don't make it at the theater, then you're not making it back. Mm. Unless you have like a deal with like a streaming service or something for them to make your movie for you, and and you know, you might get some money out of there for it doing well on the streaming service. But without having DVDs anymore, you don't have that. You don't, without the DVD sales, you just don't have that safety net. That's what I've been trying to say. That's, you don't have that safety net anymore to pick you up for not making it back in the theater.
Yeah.
I mean, he was saying that he was pitching a movie where, you know, it was a simple kind of like, I don't know if he said it's like a rom-com or something, but he was pitching it and he was working through like the budget, and he's like, okay, is this gonna be like a $50 million movie? Plus, we'll need to double that for advertising. We're at $100 million. I mean, I don't think these are the numbers he used, but he made the point like he had to double it for the advertising, which is what you do. But he's like, then we were looking at like possible theater numbers, and we're like, no, this isn't possible. Like, we're not gonna make it back because the risk is way, way, way higher, and if we put this money into this, like, the chances of us making it back is way too low.
Yeah.
And it's true. Like, I mean, that's why we're not getting a lot of movies like that anymore. I mean, people are putting way too much money into these movies, and I think that's part of the reason why, like, the scale that movies are at is way too high and unnecessary. And we've talked about it before, like with the amount of people making their own indie stuff, like, there's so many opportunities for something good to come out of the indie industry to compete with these big movies that just aren't very good. And that's why we're just getting sequels and all these different things, because they're like that takes away the risk, some of the risk of not making back your movie without a name for itself, then you have less of a risk, because people are going to go see another Star Wars movie or Marvel movie, Ghostbusters movie, whatever. I mean, they aren't, but
more likely to see it than other,
yeah,
like, even,
yeah,
non-name, unknown, yeah, movies that don't have a big name attached, yeah, to it.
Like Twisters, like, that's a good example of, but I mean, I think they actually tried better, they could do it, and there's definitely a lack of trying. I mean, if you make a good movie and you advertise it really well and don't be too basic with it, you could make something pretty decent. I think so.
But you just need originality that,
yeah,
grabs people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we're at a stage in the entertainment industry where we've had decades and decades of so many good stories, but so many films and movies that have been pumped out and delivered to us, and things that we grew up knowing, things that we love. And what people are now doing is they try to capture that imagination, they try to capture the nostalgia by going back to what people love and what people have enjoyed. There's no way forward for that, because soon all those things that we used to love are going to die away. Or what about the next generation? Like, you know, what about the generation that the next generation is not going to have a bunch of original content, original films to go back to?
Yeah,
because there was nothing original when they grew up. It was all sequels and prequels and remakes.
Well, I think that's the generation that's going to make some of the best movies.
True.
They're going to make incredible movies.
That's a good point too. Yeah. Because you're right. Because there won't be, you can't recreate that anymore. You can't make another Indiana Jones with Harrison Ford. You can't make, you know, Star Wars is going to be dead by then. Like, completely dead. You know, it's dead now, but you can't make, another Ghostbusters with the four original. It's like, you know, and even you can't make a Ghostbusters with Quinn Wolferman, because it wasn't like it was that well received, or he's not going to be like known as the Ghostbuster guy. He's going to be known as the Stranger Things guy. It's just, you're going to have to create something new, new story, new content, without having to fall back on and rely upon the nostalgia. So it will require originality.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. It's kind of like the whole strong men create weak times. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. Hard times create strong men. So that whole thing, it's kind of like that. That exactly like that within the film industry. Because like we're at the tail end of like that good times of movies, where we had good movies growing up when we were younger, a lot of originality and stuff, and now we're at a time where there's no originality, because we just had those good times, so we just weren't creating anything good, and now we're trying to make up for that, and we're still relying on those people that made a lot of those movies, and they can't think of anything else besides those movies that they made when we were younger.
Exactly. That's where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, Toy Story, that came out in our lifetime. Now they're making number five?
Yep, number five.
And they still haven't gone any further from that.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah. I don't know. I didn't have anything else. Did you?
Nope. That's it. That's all I got, really. Yeah. All
right. Cool. Well, you want to take us out?
Sure. Yeah, thank you all for watching this live stream. Our first time together in person, because we live very far away. Sort of very far, but a couple few states over. So it's nice to be able to meet up and do this for you guys. And we also have our movie review that we're going to be doing this week. That won't be live. You'll just have to wait a few weeks until that comes out. But we'll be reviewing a movie together in person as well, and look forward to that. And yeah, I hope this live stream wasn't too much of a wreck, but I think it went well. Enjoy doing it. And thank you all for watching and checking it out. Please like, comment, and subscribe. If you're on YouTube, go ahead and do that. One question. So, in light of the movie we're reviewing this week, which you guys can find out later, but what's your favorite fast food burger?
Fast food burger. probably In-N-Out.
Okay. I mean, that's like everyone's choice. In-N-Out, I love In-N-Out. I have nothing against In-N-Out. I think it's a little overrated sometimes.
You have to get it not off their menu exactly. You have to get it
animal style.
Very specific way. Yeah. Animal style, toasted buns with the peppers. And I think that's it. I haven't had it in a long time, unfortunately, but I think that's exactly how I like it.
Yeah. It sounds about right. Yeah. And so In-N-Out, and for the price, In-N-Out was way better than most other places. It's actually pretty cheap, but I'm a big fan of Five Guys. Like a Five Guys burger, it's way too expensive, but if you cut out the price, the quality of the burger is just incredible. Is it better than In-N-Out? I don't know. I'd get a lot of trouble for saying that, but but I mean, it's up there. Like I think Five Guys is up there, and then Culver's as well. Those in the Midwest know what I'm talking about. Culver's is a it's a solid burger. So, yeah, that's
for sure.
That's pretty much all. Sweet. Yeah. Well, so that's it. Thank you all for watching. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Please watch good movies and glorify God in all that you do. And just thank you guys for supporting us and continue to check us out for more content.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.